Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at YouTube.com/
Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to leave a rating or review if you're listening to us on a podcast app. And, of course, hit that subscribe or download button, or on YouTube, hit the subscribe button or the little notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. If you want to help support Going In Raw, we're at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We have a ton of reward tiers, including the very popular $20 reward tier. One $20 thing, and you get a friendo care package, including a postcard, these stickers right here, me and Larson, Going In Raw sticker, this comic book, a new Steven Larson adventure.
That can only happen in the pages of a comic book.
That is true. Can't happen in real life. And then you get to choose, do you put up Mecha Santa or Top Notch Super Best on your wall? That's the Friendo Care Package. Today is the last day that you can, if you want your Friendo Care Package to go out next week, you got to put in your $20 pledge today.
Oh, yeah.
Or you got to wait a whole another month before you're able to do that.
Correct.
Today is the 31st. Patreon collects all the money tonight at midnight, I think. And then tomorrow I look at who put in money, and I start putting them together. On the list.
Yep.
On the list.
Yep.
Anyways, if you pledged sometime in the last, well, if you've ever pledged $20 and haven't received your Friendo Care Package and you have not contacted me yet about that, please, by all means, all you needed to do ever in the span of time, $20 or more, so either the $20 tier or the $50 tier on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Or $200,000 tier.
Or that tier, but nobody's ever done that. And hit us up. Either DM me on Patreon, DM me at MFSteve here on the Twitter, and I'll make sure, just make sure you put in your mailing address and what month or months you pledged. I'll make sure you get that.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes for the poster says, cut it in half and have Mecha Top Notch.
There you go. Nobody has even talked about that yet.
Compromise.
That's a great idea.
Great idea.
So yeah, Patreon's really fun. Also, we've got like a $5 a month tier where we've got 60 people. Well, actually, this is for the $1 tier because it's post pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
But every week, three live streams for $5 a month. So it's a lot of fun. Our chat group, great group of people to talk about wrestling.
Yep.
With and to and all that.
And then today, for the post show, we got chat trivia.
That's right. That's my favorite. I found out Zach Stolpa won. I got to put him on the list of winners.
Oh, did you mention Pro Wrestling Tees? We have a Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. That is not there.
What do you got under there? That is not.
At our store, no. At Pro Wrestling Tees for the time being,
shirt.
Yes.
It's a good Ricochet shirt.
It's a great Ricochet shirt.
Probably going to not be there very long. Anyways,
let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do, talk about SmackDown.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
It was kind of a mixed bag. There were some good.
Let me bring up the notes.
There was
some hilariously bad.
Yeah, there was some really bad. I thought the first hour of the show was relatively entertaining, and then the second half felt like it dragged a little bit.
Where's my damn notes? What the heck? You know, Google Drive always changes up everything. I mean, where's the Going In Raw? Oh, here it is. That's weird.
Same place as always is. Anyway, the show kicked off with your winner of the Royal Rumble this year, the artist, the rock star.
It's the rock star,
as
man.
We were shown.
It's the rock star now.
Shinsuke Nakamura came out to drop a quick promo.
Yeah.
As he did his intro towards the conclusion of it, there was a title that said rock star that scrolled across the screen. Completely unnecessary.
No. Okay, let's
how about this? What if they do this? What if they jazz up his entrance a little bit? Mm. You know how when DX has their intro, there's the overlay that flashes stuff every now and again?
If it was cool.
Yeah, it needs to be cool.
Here's the thing.
Even the font was awful.
The font was terrible. It was just a blistering.
It looked like varsity font.
I think it was. I think it was varsity font. And I'm pretty sure that red was the most red you could be without being non-color safe.
Yeah, it was color safe red.
I'm pretty sure on some TVs it might have not been color safe.
Yeah,
older
it ones.
Was,
if
yeah.
you're still viewing on an old tube TV.
What the hell? What are
probably
they
started to bleed a little bit.
You know, all I said on Twitter, because I do think that everything's done because of my tweets, all these changes, you know, I felt like they did a really, really good job doing their repackage of Raw, their graphics repackage. Yeah. It wasn't overbearing. It looks fresh. It looks modern. It looks like they're trying to sell the company. And so they're trying to make things look more professional. This looks like they're trying to run people away.
Well, here's the thing. You know, these new graphics probably cost money. And so it's probably the budget allocated for those new graphics probably came from SmackDown.
They're like, okay. Now look.
Because apart from these added title cards and a weird prison door overlay during the Usos promo, there is zero rebrand for SmackDown.
You know what this was? You know what this was? This was...
Did they bring some recent graduates over from Full Sail?
I don't think they were graduates. This is community college first semester.
Okay.
First semester.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? That's, at best, maybe even self-taught 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay? My stepkid, Devin, could do better than that. And he's taken three semesters of media, and he's in middle school.
Yeah.
Okay? This was akin to... Do you remember that painting of Jesus that the church wanted restored? And that lady... restored it and just essentially made him look kind of like a monkey. like okay, you know the Slow Wolf shirt that we sell?
Yeah.
Where's the Slow Wolf? It's on there. It's right here. Yeah. Slow Wolf, right?
Yeah.
Looks like a wolf but kind of slow.
Yeah.
Look like a monkey but kind of slow.
A little bit.
Okay. Like a lovable slow monkey.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. This looked like the lovable slow version of SmackDown.
Yeah, kind of.
These graphics were that bad.
Yeah, they're really bad.
Because
Well, there's two different aspects of it. There was the overlays during the actual show, during Nakamura's entrance and during the Uso promo, and then during the iPhone promo, something they've been doing on Mixed Match Challenge, they'll also have random words pop up.
And on Mixed Match, so that's what they've sort of, I understand that with Mixed Match
Challenge. This is the aesthetic of the show.
It's the aesthetic of the show. It's something separate. You don't need to start doing it everywhere. You don't need to do it on SmackDown, too.
No.
And this Rockstar thing was so overwhelmingly bad.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And then the Usos thing was really bad.
Yeah.
It was so cheap. Here's the funny thing about the Usos, when the Usos promo, when they were like in the hallway.
Well, that was good.
That was really cool. I want more of that kind of stuff.
Now, if they're going to do the prison door stuff, just go to a prison.
Yeah, I know.
Shoot
go
there.
Do some cool film stuff.
Yeah. And you could tell like one of the Usos was looking off frame because I'm sure it was playing on the Titantron to get his cue when they could start talking again. And the whole time, he seemed like he was about to laugh. I felt like.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
now they can never say unlock again because they'll know they have to do this.
Otherwise, it's a really good promo.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. It was fine. I thought they were going to debut Authors of Pain, but then I remember Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's going to be them, huh? I don't know, man. It's so bad. You know they're not going to. I don't know.
Maybe it's the aesthetic they're going for. Raw is a real polished product. SmackDown is more like the DIY thing.
SmackDown is more like public access.
Kind of.
Go all the way then, man. Give me 4:3 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Scan lines.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Shoot it with broadcast cameras circa 1975.
Exactly.
Scan lines, all that. Don't post-process it. Shoot it with the original equipment.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm sure on the WWE archives, they got some cameras they used to use for.
Oh, yeah.
For, like Tuesday Night Titans or something in the warehouse.
Oh man, I'd love that. I'd actually love that. I think it'd be great. It'd be awesome.
Called Tuesday Night Titans? I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, oh, it's so bad, dude. It's so bad.
But anyways, Nakamura's promo was pretty short. He just said, you know,
sorry. So in chat again, the Patreon chat. Che Tiger Knox said, "Who's Rockstar Spud? I've heard of Drake Maverick."
Nakamura was saying at the Rumble gave Sami Zayn need a face, John Cena need a face, and then Roman Reigns need a face. And then at Mania, AJ Styles will get a need at the face. He was interrupted by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They came out again to express their frustration with their perceived injustice during their match against AJ Styles.
And they were saying, "You're not going to fight AJ Styles, we're going to fight AJ Styles," or something like that. And then he said, "AJ Styles is a winner. You are losers."
Yeah.
And the crowd popped for that. So did I. That was great. AJ Styles, he comes out, and then AJ basically throws down, you know, he says, "At WrestleMania, we're going to fight each other. But tonight, right here, tonight, you and me and Nakamura versus you two, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn."
And they just walk out of the ring. They stop, turn back around, say nope.
Yeah.
And walk away.
Nope. They did the Dave Hester. Storage Wars. Remember, we were obsessed for that.
Oh, yeah, we were.
That was great. Nope.
Did you see Barry was in town for one of the, I think it was one of the, what was it?
Like a SatCon or something?
No, there was like a monster truck thing at Golden One. Wow. And I saw on Twitter that he was there.
Barry Weiss, really?
Yeah.
He's still around.
Yeah.
Is Storage Wars still on the air?
I think so.
Is Barry still
I don't know if their new episode, but they're still...
Remember when Once Their Faces got their own like show? Jared and what's her face?
Brandy.
Yeah.
First spell, we were really well-versed in Storage Wars.
Yeah, I know. And we were like all into the stories and stuff.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know.
Bringing like new nefarious characters to outbid people on the storage facilities.
I know.
Storage lockers.
Or if that's available on DVD, maybe after we watch N1 mixtape.
Yeah.
We can look into reminiscing about some storage
wars. That's what our new off-channel should be, is like just reviewing weird crap from our past.
That's a great idea. I like that.
All right, let's see here.
Next, we had
I like this. I was like, dude, give me a number one contendership Fatal 4-Way. I don't care who it is or what it's for. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I like
That's what we got. Number one contender for U.S. title on the line. Kofi Kingston, Jinder Mahal, Rusev, and Zack Ryder.
Rusev.
New Day accompanied Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden English accompanied Rusev.
Of course.
Is it Sameer Singh? Which one is...
I thought it was Samil.
Okay, maybe it's Samil.
I honestly don't know.
Maybe it is Samil. I think you're right.
Okay.
Accompanied Jinder.
I always think Sumir is the better looking one and Samil's the nicer looking one. Because he has got a very kind face.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Sumil Singh. Sunil. Sunil. Which one is that one? I'm right.
Sunil was there. Yeah. Samir is the one that tore his ACL.
Yeah.
He accompanied Jinder, Zack Ryder. Was by himself.
Aww.
He had no friend to come out with
him. He has no friends.
He used to have a friend, Mojo.
Now he's not his friend.
Not friends.
Yeah.
But this was a ton of fun. But before the match actually started, everybody's out in the ring. Everybody except for the New Day got jobber entrances.
Mm-hmm.
We cut backstage. Daniel Bryan is talking to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Daniel Bryan says, nope, we're having this tag match tonight.
Yeah.
But you're right. You did get screwed your title match. So here's what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to have a match to determine a new number one contender for WWE title. The match is going to be between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already sowing the seeds of discord between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
I feel like we're back on track. There was no passive-aggressive stuff between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
I don't think they interacted for the whole show.
I don't think they did either. And in fact, the segment that Shane was in, I actually really liked. I thought Shane and Ty Dillinger were very natural. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was good. so I liked that a lot.
Back to the ring, though. The match was actually a lot of fun.
Well, let me just point this out really quick, too. And it's the small things that matter. Jobber entrances are great if you're eliminating them in order to move story along.
I know there's a lot of entrances that we didn't get.
We didn't get entrances. I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. I don't need entrances for everybody.
I know. Like the main event, no one got an entrance.
Yeah, I know.
Match just started.
I love that.
Back out in the ring, Bobby Roode's on commentary. A lot of fun, a lot of good character spots in this match.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Big E spent most of the match throwing pancakes at Corey Graves.
Yeah, that was good.
Fantastic.
That was good.
There's an altercation on the outside where Aiden English pushed Sumil Singh into the New Day,
mm-hmm.
causing Big E to spill his pancakes all over the mat.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the ref tossed them all from the ringside area.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I love it, especially because it was like four people.
And he's pointing at each of them.
You're
out of here.
And he winds up and throws them out. Everybody loves that.
It was great. At one point, Rusev starts to go for the stack-a-lade.
I love the stack-a-lade.
Jinder breaks it up. But in the end, Rusev applies the accolade to Kofi Kingston. Kofi taps Rusev, Machka, new number one contender for U.S. title. He'll face Bobby Roode next week.
I love this. He's going to lose. But I really, really, I like Rusev. There is like a minor problem. Rusev is insanely over right now.
Do you think they can do some sort of
a double turn?
Well, that'd be great. But let's just say
out of the realm of possibility.
Some sort of finish that will prolong the feud.
I hope so. I want this
to be carry through till Fastlane.
No, I want this to be an actual feud. And I want this to be at Mania, like in the kickoff show. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Because this feels like a kickoff show feud. No, I think it'd be great. I mean, I don't think a double turn. I mean, Rusev still acts like a heel. It's just everybody loves him.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it can still work. It's just going to be a really fun heel to watch. And, and I like Bobby Roode. I wish they'd let Bobby lighten up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we see him in the mixed match challenge stuff with Charlotte, and it's fantastic. And then he goes out there in commentary.
He's like the most generic face stuff he says.
They're throwing him a couple softballs here and there. I think somebody mentioned that it's Rusev Day. I think Corey mentioned that it's Rusev Day or something like that. And he didn't really bite.
He just said, oh, yeah, but it's also glorious or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, they need to let him lighten up a little bit and let go of the glorious stuff just a tad.
I know.
It has to be annoying to him at this point also.
I think so.
But, yeah, let him lighten up a tad. But, no, I like it. Look, man, it's Rusev and it's Bobby Roode both in it for the U.S. title. I think it's fantastic.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Next, Usos promo that, apart from an overlay of a prison door closing, was really good.
Yeah, no, it was cool. They said that they have the entire tag team.
Oh, sorry,
this
first one. First one is when they were walking down the hallway. Sorry.
Oh, I like, okay, yeah, I like that.
The real stylized one. That was good. Although cool. I had the text pop up.
Yeah, I wasn't huge on that. I love what they did with this, though. Like, mm-hmm. It was simple but effective. It looked filmic. It looked cinematic.
Very atmospheric.
Yeah, they walk into they when they walked off into the sort of the light, if you will, into the tunnel. I thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you my thing is this: wrestling can look like, you look at what New Japan does with their pre-film promo stuff, their videos and stuff.
Yeah,
they're really, really well done. If you look at the HBO promo for the Andre the Giant
mm-hmm,
thing,
mm-hmm.
there are things that you could do that are very effective that come off as very dramatic
mm-hmm.
and very simple to do that you can use during the course of your show.
Yeah.
If Raw is going to be like your sports presentation, then why can't SmackDown be a more cinematic presentation?
Yeah.
Give it its own feel completely. And then when you have things like the brand roster shakeups or whatever, the superstar shakeups, it's not just, oh, now we get this person versus this person. It's, let's see what this person looks like in a cinematic light.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, this is the nerdiest analogy I'm going to make ever, but it's kind of like when you watch Star Trek The Next Generation, the TV show, and then when they do the exact same set on movie screens.
It looks so much different.
With like Generations, that first movie they did, it looks so different. It looks cinematic.
Yeah.
There's your difference right there.
Yeah.
And they both have their own thing.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to take my advice on that. They're probably just going to have rock stars flying across. I know. Horrible colors.
Next, we had a brief little bit with the Fashion Police and the Ascension backstage taking some sort of Twitter questions, it seemed like. Interrupted by Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just to lead to a match later on in the evening, so it seems like Gable and Benjamin are out of the tag title picture.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, this, hopefully they'll understand that they need to figure out what they're supposed to be. I mean, this was a good, you know, they flipped over a table full of computers and they yelled at the good guy, the comedy act that everybody loves.
Yeah.
So that's heelish.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No, Gable and Benjamin, if they're going to be heels, they need to be more well-defined as heels.
And they need to be, they're fantastic wrestlers, but I feel like some of that needs, they're really, really good wrestlers.
Yeah.
They need to be a bit, I don't know, more aggressive, edgier. Like the Usos. When mm-hmm. the Usos went
mm-hmm.
heel,
mm-hmm.
they completely changed what they did in the ring in terms of how they approached their same moveset. I mean, they brought out different stuff, but they were more aggressive. I kind of feel like they need to do that too.
Yeah.
Anyways. Then the Usos, is that when the Usos came out? Did we already?
Then the Usos did the promo in ring.
And they had like the weird, they said, we got them on lock. And then
they name a tag team.
A jail.
And a prison door would close.
But here's the, I mean, besides the fact that it was a terrible graphic, why are they the ones evidently getting locked up behind bars?
I know, it doesn't make sense. It should be a shot of who they defeated with the prison doors going.
Right, exactly. Like a Photoshop of them going like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways.
Otherwise, it's a good promo, though.
So they said, we have everybody on lock. And then right before they left, the Bludgeon Brothers music hits.
Yeah.
To go face a couple of jobbers.
Yeah. Who they dispatched of rather quickly.
Yeah, I like the Bludgeon Brothers didn't come out to like talk crap. They just happened to have a match, and it was glaringly obvious, well, you haven't beat these guys yet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was cool.
Yeah. Bludgeon Brothers win with their finisher. Not much of a match. Actually destroyed the two guys.
What was the deal with that? I like that Corey Graves called that one dude the slightly older brother to Moby. That was funny.
That was funny.
And that dude's outfit was amazing. Because it looked like...
It had the word amazing on it, didn't it? The one that had like the corrugated metal print on it?
Yeah. I was paying attention to the corrugated metal, but you're right. It said amazing on it, too.
So he thought his outfit was amazing, too, Steve.
Well, it was. He deserves to have that word outfit.
He earned that accolade he gave himself. Daniel Bryan iPhone promo where he announced SmackDown Top 10. Still not entirely sure how this is going to be implemented or how it's going to be important to the show.
Oh, wait a second. Was one of those guys Drew Gulak's brother? I don't know, maybe. Anyways, I'm sorry. Continue.
Oh, Daniel Bryan iPhone promo where he announced SmackDown Top 10.
Yeah, they released that earlier in the day. Is it going to be without the words?
Strictly power ranking? or is it going to be literally, you know, like standings that once you get to the top of, you get a title shot?
I love the idea of standings.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's at that point, it kind of becomes, okay, well, let me ask you this.
But here's the, okay, go ahead.
I got a couple questions.
Yeah.
Is this kayfabe? Or shoot, are they? I would love to think that they're actually going to have the talent in the back vote on who
on a
they
weekly
want.
Basis, yeah.
To have
who's having good week versus bad week
opportunities, because I think if you're, you know, if your locker room is like a bit of a brotherhood, they're going to be like, hey, let's get Ty an opportunity. Let's jack him up in the power rankings.
But here's the thing: I know he said talent, leadership, backstage, athletic ability. Does wins and losses not matter? Because it's like based on standings.
Well,
if it's standings, it should be based on in-ring performance. That should be number one criteria, not some things as subjective as talent.
I think from what I gather, I think it's more along the lines of what the locker room, who the locker room thinks should have opportunities.
All right.
And that isn't based on wins, losses. It's like, man, how? Why is it this guy is not, why is it this guy, for example, Ty Dillinger, he's never on TV. We want to vote him up in the
power rankings. Power rankings.
And get him some exposure.
All right.
That's what I think it is.
All right.
This guy is athletic.
It's they didn't explain it very well.
What are you talking about? They have three criteria. Athletic ability.
Yeah, but two of them are kind of the same thing.
Talent and athletic ability are the same thing.
Not exactly the same thing, but close enough.
Kind of. No, I know. And then locker room leadership.
Which we have no clue as to how effective someone is in terms of leadership backstage, because we don't see that.
I know.
So that leads me to believe that it's not kayfabe, Steve.
Mm-hmm. So, and apparently, according to chat here, NWO Moby is Gulak's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he was also the clown.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Next, Shane was on his phone. In walks Ty Dillinger.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned their back and forth was pretty good.
No, I liked it. I thought it was good because, well, Shane's back there on his phone. Ty Dillinger shows up. And then, and he's like, dude, I got beat up before the Rumble. I want my opportunity. And then Baron Corbin comes in and starts saying, hey, I want opportunity too. And the camera kind of like focuses on him and Shane. And then Ty at some point speaks up and Baron says, oh, you're still here? Which was pretty funny. But then Ty immediately shot back with, yeah, unlike your Money in the Bank contract. I was dead, man. It was perfectly
That's
shot
awesome.
Back too. It was awesome.
That's
Baron
awesome.
Got pissed off, and then Shane says, "We're gonna solve this in the ring." Baron goes stomping off, and Shane says, "He's a bit touchy about that, isn't he?" He's like, "Yeah, the truth hurts, Shane." It was really good. It felt organic.
It did.
It actually felt, you know, unscripted. So well done, everybody.
Next, Charlotte interview. She managed to cover both defending her women's title and Ronda Rousey during the course of this interview and yet illuminated nothing as to what their plans are going to be.
Uh-huh.
But out walked Riot Squad. Ruby Riot dropped a promo.
You know what? And this came off as scripted, and it was scripted, I think. But Ruby Riot always does really good with the dialogue.
She does.
You have to think. I was thinking about this when she was walking down. To remember your dialogue, walk down a ramp in front of 10,000 people.
And I'm sure you got to be conscious of the camera.
Yeah.
Your distance from it.
Right, exactly. And hit all your beats properly. That cannot be easy.
Given your script 2 minutes before you go out.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know, man. I thought it was, I'm always impressed when people can do that.
So Riot Squad get in the ring. There's a brawl. At first, Charlotte manages to clear the ring. Riot Squad come back in. They lay out Charlotte. And then Carmella
mm-hmm.
runs down the ring and tries to cash in.
Oh, yeah. People
She's
start going
the ref,
crazy.
I'm cashing in.
All right. Sets up high-pitched, squealing voice.
I know. Before the bell rings, sets up for a drop kick, goes for said drop kick. Charlotte gets out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella drop kicks the ref.
Mm-hmm.
The ref falls out of the ring
yeah.
with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yep.
No cash in.
Yep. Yeah.
I like they tease it, though.
No, I loved it. I thought it was great. They need to be getting on this, give Carmella something to do. I mean, I don't see her successfully cashing in before Mania.
No.
You never know.
Even after Mania, I don't see her being successful.
Oh, you think she's going to have a failed cash-in?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. No, I thought it was great. I loved it. I don't know. Nothing really more to say there. It was cool.
It was good. Next, Nakamura backstage with AJ. And AJ says, you know, hey, you want to talk game plan, strategy.
I am going to beat you at WrestleMania.
What? Are you messing with me?
I am going to beat you at WrestleMania.
Are you messing with me?
Yeah, I'm messing with you. We're good. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Him continually saying, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. I thought it was freaking hilarious. I don't know, man. These two, I could watch them all day just with each other.
Yeah.
You know, like these backstage segments, I think they're corny, but they're great because it's these two.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to just getting 2 months of them interacting as, you know,
kind of like on a friendly level.
Yes.
And after Fastlane, things get a bit more heated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. This is great. Next up.
You know what they should do? Have them win the tag titles together.
That'd be great. I'd love that. A hesitant tag team.
Yes, knowing full well that they have a showdown scheduled on April 8th.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool. I'd like it.
And then after Fastlane, they would lose the tag titles, heightening the tension between them.
Heightening the tension.
That's how you do it.
Hey.
Next, Carmella interview. She was asked about cashing in.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see this.
I don't remember much about it. It was pretty quick.
All right.
Oh, I remember this part. The sound was all weird.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the levels were all weird. Like, for a while, you could hear the crowd more than either Renee Young or Carmella. That's what I remember what was being said.
Did they tape that at Full Sail or something?
No, whoever was manning the soundboard apparently was confused about what meters or what sliders to put up.
That's something that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. The infusion of talent to 205 Live.
Whether it's full-time or not, that's the thing.
Tyler Bate and Roderick Strong. I honestly don't know how I feel about that. Because on one hand, I think it'd make for a way cooler to, like, we've said for a while that 205 Live needs to be must-watch wrestling TV.
Yes.
And I can't think of two guys better kick that off.
Considering the results of Tyler Bate's match, I don't think he's going to be sticking around.
The results of his NXT match?
No. His match on 205 Live.
Did he fight last night?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a match against TJP.
Oh, I thought that was happening next week.
No, he had a match against TJP last night.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I want 205 Live to be, like, the best wrestling.
I know. I'd feel better if, like, all these people that are getting brought up had a chance to actually advance and see them, you know, compete more often on 205 Live. But if they're just bringing some guys up short-term to fill out the bracket,
Yeah, I know. Me too. Like, if they said, oh, Roderick Strong, you're going to 205 Live.
Yeah.
Number one, they really need to change the perception of 205 Live as a dumping ground.
They really
do.
As,
like, a go-nowhere place. Anyways, we'll get that tomorrow. Back to SmackDown.
Next, we had Ty Dillinger versus Baron Corbin. This was a fun match.
No, this was cool. They gave this plenty of time. I like this. It was a good showing for Ty Dillinger. I was really hoping they'd have Ty go over.
Same.
I really was. Like, Baron isn't going to lose much. Baron's always going to, as long as Baron is around, he's not going to be in a bad spot.
He can lose by roll-up and not suffer from it at all.
They really need to be careful with that because that is becoming a joke.
Oh, I know. It's great. I love it. Like, why don't you just go for roll-ups the whole time against him?
I know. That's the problem. They can't be doing that with Baron Corbin. Like, everybody knows now. Everybody talks about the roll-up problem with him. Do you need to get you a new jar, dude?
No, I'll worry about it later.
I'll get you a set of new jars for Christmas. Wait, what's next? Your birthday's next. That's a ways off, though.
Yeah, it's a ways off.
Valentine.
I have plenty of jars at home.
Valentine's Day.
I don't know why this one smells like cinnamon. I don't know why.
I'll get you a new jar.
Next, Rusev Day promo. Rusev and Aiden English.
This is awesome.
Yeah. They're great.
It is. Bobby Roode's iPhone promo. I thought it was pretty clever.
It was.
He was in front of a calendar.
That on next Tuesday at Rusev Day, he circled it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used the O as a basis to spell glorious across the rest of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was good. Next up, we had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens backstage. I don't remember what this is about.
They're already kind of arguing.
Okay.
Kevin Owens was taping his wrists, and they were kind of talking about, like Sami Zayn said, I know we're good this week because I know you have my back, and I know we'll take care of business. And then Kevin Owens said, yeah, just like you did at the Rumble.
Yeah, okay, I remember that now. Yeah,
it's a lot of passive aggression.
That was rude. Anyways, next.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they really turned the switch on immediately with this tension between the two of them after they've been so copacetic for weeks. It seemed to be a whole lot of build.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Though I did like Sami Zayn's interview to end the show.
Oh, I thought that was great.
Like, he's going to, I'm hoping.
Oh, dude, that was intensity right there.
Out Kevin Owens. Like, we all expect if they break up, Kevin Owens is going to come out this heel. Heel Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I don't. I was about to say that. That's kind of the problem is that you can't really have Sami Zayn just go back to face. That ain't going to work.
No. He needs to out Kevin Owens at this point. Do the reverse of what happened in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Where they win something. I don't know. They win a match. and they're celebrating. I think Sami Zayn demolishes Kevin Owens, demolishes him.
The student has become the teacher.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree with that. That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. See what they do with Kevin Owens as a face, I guess,
Or at least a tweener.
He could be, so I've said this before, he could be, like, if you want the next Stone Cold, it could be him.
Yep.
Who else did I say could be the next Stone Cold? I thought it was him.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Nice. Anyways.
Next, Gable and Benjamin versus Breezango. This match didn't get a ton of time, but it was a lot of fun.
This was
really
a fun match.
Place, yeah. Fast pace, a lot of good wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Gable and Benjamin went over with their finisher.
A much-needed win for them.
Yeah, I'm bummed out that Breezango, at one point, could have won those tag titles.
It got a
major pop, and now they're just kind of pushed to the wayside.
Yeah, I know. You know how it goes with this comedy act stuff, dude.
No, I know.
They're never going to get what we want them to get.
Yeah.
Because even, like, once they have the tag team titles, what do you really do with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a comedy act, what are you going to do with titles? They do their thing, and it's hilarious, and I love it. And that's good. That's a good career for them.
All right.
You know. I want more for them, too.
Yes,
there's
more.
There's just too much talent, dude.
I know there's a lot of talent.
I mean, that's the thing about 205 Live that I keep coming around to is like, man, as much as I love Roderick Strong, I think he's great. And I'd actually prefer to see Tyler Bate with Tread 7 as Mustache Mountain in some tag division. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with Roderick Strong, I think he's a fantastic wrestler. What title is he? Like, what's his ceiling?
Mid-card champ.
Realistically.
Yeah.
Like, if even Intercontinental, I mean, who's the Intercontinental champion now? The Miz, and they're going to give him a monster push against Braun? Roderick Strong is never going to get to that level.
He could be a believable U.S. champ.
Yeah, he is on our show.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. I don't know. So, I mean, you know, they need to make some changes to 205 Live in terms of the audience perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a great place for people to go.
I know.
You know.
Finally, our main event, Nakamura and Styles taking on Owens and Zayn. And then at one point, Nakamura tosses Zayn from the ring when Zayn's trying to attack Nakamura and help Owens.
Yeah.
Owens apparently doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Because he finds out that Zayn is not in their corner, finds him outside the ring and starts yelling at him.
Well, he goes for a tag and he's like, "You're not here." And Zayn is taking his sweet time getting.
He's got tossed out of the ring. I'm sure that doesn't feel good.
There was a little bit of time, though.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he was in any rush, but yeah. At the same time, the reason he's in that predicament is because he was trying to help his partner.
Sense of urgency. He needs a sense of urgency.
Anyway, so they're arguing a bit. There's a bunch of, like, angry tags back and forth.
they weren't tags. They were chops.
I know.
They were tagging him in via chop.
So they argue ringside, and then Zayn says, "All right, I'm done." He walks out. So he's standing up the top of the ramp for a while.
He's just watching.
Yeah, and then he rushes back into the ring to break up a pinfall. And then at one point, AJ pushes Owens into Zayn. More arguing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zayn finally says, "That's enough." Walks out again, walks backstage, watches the rest of the match.
He's in.
Yeah, but he's watching it on TV backstage.
Right, exactly.
In the end, Nakamura pins Owens after Kinshasa. And then Sami Zayn gave this really great interview afterwards. Saying, you know, this isn't about friendship, it's about opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been looked over for far too long. It's time for Sami Zayn, I'm paraphrasing, to be WWE champion.
Yeah, and it was a really, really effective, you know, dude, it wasn't that long ago we were whining about Sami Zayn, is he buried? This is a great illustration of if you just stick to being ready to get in the game.
Yep.
Eventually, there is the distinct possibility that you will get in the game. And Sami Zayn now has, and we all know that this is going to end up being AJ Styles versus Nakamura at WrestleMania. We totally get that. Sami Zayn probably won't win the championship at Fastlane.
No.
But it's a main event spot at a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, really good place to be.
Which means we're probably going to get Owens versus Zayn at WrestleMania.
Probably, and that could be a show stealer. Mm-hmm. We know what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is lining up. If that's the case, this is lining up to be wrestling-wise a fantastic.
Apart from Brock versus Roman.
Yeah, but even that, like, before Seth cashed in, I was into that match.
Oh, I know.
I didn't think I was going to be.
That was also 3 years ago. Let's see if Brock is any more motivated, especially if he's kind of out the door.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree with you. But at the same time, there's also the carnival aspect to that match where it's like, okay, finally, after this long, we're gonna see what this is gonna be, you know, let's see how they're gonna do this.
Yeah,
and we probably know how they're gonna do it.
Oh yeah.
But it's finally there.
I know.
And then what other matches are on the, or do we know of? I mean, Ronda's going to be there, probably do a silly
overbooked tag match. Yeah.
Bray versus Matt, they might do the final deletion again.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be cool.
There could be a lot of cool things.
No, they're very well.
Or it could be pure crap.
Yeah.
Don't know.
It'll probably be a mix of both.
Yeah.
Like most manias are.
Anyways, we got some mail.
Here, you open this one.
I'm excited because, Larson, I forgot to mention this. We're on the road to Office Space.
Yeah.
March 1st, construction's happening where they're going to do the internet.
Internet. So yeah. After that.
Say, tell us anyways. After that, we're going to be in office.
Yeah.
And so right now, we're getting as much stuff as we can. These are my favorites right here.
Yeah, these are great.
As much as we can for the new set in the office. It's going to be a new era, Larson.
Yeah.
This is coming to us from Morrison. That's all it says, just Morrison. We'll see what the little letter in here says. Oh, that's cool.
Is that a Pearl Jam CD?
Yes, it is. Oh, from Micah. Happy New Year. A while back, around 6 to 8 months ago, Steve cut a promo on Pearl Jam that I could not let stand. I offer a counterpoint. Oh, dear. Enclosed are their last two albums. I encourage you guys to give their later work a listen as husbands and fathers and tell me there's not something of merit. Bands continue to grow and change as we all do, just offering a different opinion. And this dude's backing it up by sending us albums. I think I actually have these on my iPod because I got the Apple.
Was it Backspacer? What's the other one?
Let's see here. We got, this is the Target exclusive Backspacer.
Yeah.
Which has fantastic artwork.
Yeah, it's good
artwork.
There's
Pearl Jam's Backspacer.
And then that one.
And this one is Lightning Bolt. This might be the Target one. I forget.
No, I think it was Backspacer. Was the Target one. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
I will give him a listen at the gym because that's the only time I really had to listen to music these days.
He says, thank you guys for the quality work you put out every day. A too sweet, I mean cease and desist to Steve and a firm handshake for Larson. Sincerely, Micah from Charlotte, the Queen City.
Thank you very much. This is that wrestling sir. Awesome shirt.
Oh, what is it?
It's a large.
God dang it. I got to hit those people up XLs. Oh, man.
It's got a bunch the of beard. Mustaches.
Oh, this makes sense for you, anyways. It's the beard guide to wrestling.
That's great.
That's good.
We got some more pins. Ooh, look at that. Joker Balor.
Oh, that's cool.
Another Scott Hall.
Another Scott Hall. That's rad.
This is great.
Oh, wow. Look at that. It's a big E figure.
Here's a Kevin Owens print.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
And what autograph do we get this month?
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
Nia Jax.
Cool. Right on. More stuff for our set.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. The list for January.
Just says what's in there?
Yeah.
Nice. Right on. Cool. If you guys want to send us stuff, you can. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662. And then I go by and I pick it up.
That's a good shirt.
That's fun.
It's fitting that I get that one.
It is fitting for you, yes. Cool. Let's answer some questions now.
Yeah, that's neat.
J.S. Sutton says, those are all solid albums. JCR says Pearl Jam is great. Listen,
I started listening to the last episode of Slow Burn on the way over here.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm going to finish that.
Is there a Pearl Jam specific? Oh, you're saying you're going to listen to these after Slow
Yeah.
Burn. Okay, I thought Slow Burn was going to talk about Pearl Jam's relation to the Watergate.
No crossover
break-in.
How far along are you on Slow Burn?
Oh, I haven't listened to any more of it.
Okay.
I'm going to. I plan to. Just like with my new schedule getting Alabama to school when I do now. It's difficult to, because I would listen to it at the gym, and now I'm just like, man, I got to build up my home gym, because like it takes me 10 minutes to get to the gym, 10 minutes to get back, so it's 20 minutes wasted.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, you should build up your home gym, because then during, you know, downtime, we can both work out, Steve.
I don't really want you in my home gym.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking. You can be there anytime you want. Right. I know, but the thing is, like, and you're never going to be here a month from now.
Oh, that's true.
You're never going to
be
here.
We got to make this next month count.
He says with much enthusiasm.
God, I can't talk.
Whoa, what was that?
I combined two words into Fari. sorry, and then something else. First question, that's what it was. First and sorry I combined.
First question.
Eddie Jose Glorious Menavar, how much are you guys enjoying the WWE product now that you guys have been recapping it for years now? Still enjoy it fine.
Wait, sorry, what?
I have yet to find how are we enjoying the product now that we recap it for a living. I've yet to find that I've become jaded.
It's like the number one question. That's the NXT. What am I doing? That's like the number one question I get from like my friends and family is, yeah. Don't you ever get sick of that stuff? And I'm like, no. It'd be sad if I did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Well, I'll say this. But I don't think it's necessarily different than it would be if I weren't covering this for a living, wrestling that is. Mm-hmm. There's just some nights where like, you know, do I really want to invest 3 hours in watching Raw or whatever?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Would I rather do something else?
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with me doing this for a living. It's just me wouldn't dedicate that much time to something.
I'm on such a routine that like Mondays at 5 o'clock, I'm just used to, I never feel like, man, I'd rather be doing something else just because I've made it such a routine.
Yeah.
You know, but by the time Thursday comes around, I am just like, okay, well, cool. I don't have to worry about watching. I don't have to do that for my job, but I enjoy it while I watch it.
I don't remember if I even have a CD player in my car.
I do. You don't have, do you have any sort of a music service?
Yeah, I have Spotify.
Spotify? Can you just get an album on Spotify?
Yeah, I think so.
Because like iTunes has that terrific, it's like $14, $15 a month, and you just do whatever you
want to
do.
Yeah, that's what we got to. Yeah, okay. No ads, none of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You could download whole albums, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thayer Thabata, CM Punk finds insulting. Shinsuke Nakamura was the first NXT champion to win the Rumble. Who will be the second?
Who's the early favorite to win next year's Rumble?
Roman Reigns.
Let's look at recent. Okay, so Finn. If, dude, I'll put it this way.
Finn, Joe.
If they execute Finn
Drew.
Properly. Yeah, Drew, maybe. If they execute Finn properly over this next 12 months.
Oh, yeah, he can be.
Holy moly.
Massive.
Oh, yeah, he could be huge, and he could be a perennial Royal Rumble winner.
Yes, he can win 5 in a row.
Telling you, he could be the Naito of WWE.
Corey Smith, I assume by now you've seen the picture of Rusev mowing his front lawn in a Speedo.
That's number one, Rusev.
Yeah. Now, his question is, after a long day of mowing his lawn in a Speedo, what does Rusev have for lunch?
Can I just say the response from Blake Whitehouse is my favorite? It's just Lana. Machka. I don't know. Meat, obviously, mm-hmm. of some sort.
Yeah, after, you know, exercising, you need a little bit. You need to get some protein.
If there's anybody in the WWE that I could see eating, my favorite in cartoons, my favorite food in cartoons is always the meat, the meat on bone.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, cartoon characters would, like.
Like the turkey leg, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they would just, in one.
Yeah. And strip the bone of meat.
And it would just be bone in one bite. That's what Rusev does every day for lunch.
Steve Destroying Bosses is real. Long-time listener, first-time patron. Thank you very much. Assuming Roman Reigns is set to headline WrestleMania with eating two pins on Raw, so should SmackDown protect AJ Styles and Nakamura by booking them strong or let them eat some pins? Thanks.
They've never had a problem with, especially AJ, eating pins.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's made him more compelling and more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Roman's going to eat pins like this, and it keeps Roman's trajectory unpredictable, or at least have the air of unpredictability.
Yeah, the facade of unpredictability out there.
Then I'm much happier with that. If it's, you know, people can eat pins and still look and still come off as strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's when they look superhuman that it gets boring.
I know. Richard Nason, is the New Day still as hilarious to others as they are to me? He says he marks out so much when they chuck pancakes at Corey Graves, and how he reacts is absolutely hysterical. What do you think will be the next edible food they will bring to the ring? New Day, still hilarious. Still great. They still managed to keep themselves relevant.
I was just saying this the other day about when, what match was it? It was a tag match with Bobby Roode last week on SmackDown, the week before or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Where like everybody's entrance music was playing and they're all dancing to it in the ring.
You can tell they genuinely enjoy what they're doing, and they generally enjoy doing it with each other.
That's exactly right. That's why they're so great.
And what do you think? What's the next food they bring out? Cereal. Next was pancakes.
So cereal, pancakes.
Let's not limit ourselves strictly to breakfast foods or foods traditionally associated with breakfast.
I mean, I feel, to me, the next logical step for them would be donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you get a whole variety of them. You can have New Day themed donuts.
Mm-hmm.
I can see donuts. Yeah,
good. That's good.
I had a New Day type donut. It was like It was like, you know, a regular round cake donut, but then with like teal frosting with like pink and bright green.
You know, we never got the New Day ice cream bars. Did we? We got the shirt.
Yeah.
We never got the actual ice cream bars.
I think some people like on the live shows did, but I don't think they ever made them en masse.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it's harder to, ice cream bars to keep them intact while they're walking out to the ring because they'll melt.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, throw them out to the audience. You can still do that in the wrapper.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're properly frozen,
yeah.
They come out there, you have a 12-minute match, they're still pretty cold.
Yeah.
You know, hand them out in the wrapper, yeah, mm-hmm. to the fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Alex C. is real. After tonight's mediocre at best show, how many more of the 9 SmackDowns before Mania do you think will be phoned in? I at least hope they really kick things into gear after Fastlane. It gives them a month between then and Mania.
When is Fastlane?
March 11th, I want to say.
March 11th?
Yeah.
Oh, I keep on thinking WrestleMania is the end of March, but it's after the first week of April.
Yeah, it's April 8th.
Yeah.
So we have Elimination Chamber next, then Fastlane.
So we have all of February, and then so 6 weeks until Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might be. There might be a couple of phone-ins between now and Fastlane. To be honest with you, I hope not.
I fully expect it.
I hope not.
North Texas Hoss Patrick Beals.
Beals.
Hey, friendos. First the Festival of Friendship, then Cody and Kenny, now Sammy and Kevin. Can I never love again?
That's a deep question right there.
I know.
There's always room for love, man. You know, one day, 9 years ago, I thought I was going to die alone. I was fine with it. Then I met my wife.
You resigned yourself to that fate?
I mean, it wasn't dramatic or anything, but I was like, whatever. I was like, if I die alone, I die alone. I'll be a nomad.
If you die alone, you're dead.
Yeah.
Into the void you go, nothingness, Steve.
Back then I was resigned to living my fate, like living my life like that.
Okay.
You know.
What changed? Why are you now so petrified, scared of death? Back then, were you still scared of death, or was it just a thing where you're like, well, this is what my life's going to be?
Oh, good question.
I'm just wondering where that transition was.
No, it wasn't. No, I wasn't resigned to die.
No, I understand.
I was resigned to live the rest of my life alone.
I know, but did you still find the concept of death scary then as you do now?
Oh, I don't know if I thought about it back then.
All right, I'm just curious.
You know, at a certain age, you don't think about it.
No, I understand that.
But then sometime in the last 9 years, I really started thinking about death.
Okay.
Now it's terrifying.
Okay.
Should be for you, too. Oh.
Maybe I still don't think about it enough. I don't know.
Yeah, one day.
Hardly possible.
One day you will.
Tommy T, hey friendos, my question is, who is consistently your 3 favorite acts to watch across all promotions, from mic work to in-ring? Personally, for Tommy T, the Usos were one of his favorite acts.
That's a good choice. Good favorite right there. 3 favorite acts. Power rank. Aleister Black is one of mine. I'm going to say they're all from NXT. Aleister Black is one of mine.
He says across all promotions.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at you, New Japan.
I'll say the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not just getting New Japan, you're getting Ring of Honor, you're getting being the elite, you're getting all that.
Yeah.
I'll say,
boy, it's funny. Like, you started drawing a
Braun.
Oh, Braun is on my list. Yeah, Braun is definitely on my list. And
I might say the New Day.
Really? That's interesting.
They're so fun.
Yeah, they're fun. But they're not really on my list. Who else? Man, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time drawing a blank.
What about Street Profits?
Oh, they might be on my list. I don't know, but sometimes they can be too loud. Sometimes I want them to tranquilo a bit. Well,
they're not going to tranquilo, man.
My third on my list is evil.
Because everything is evil, right, Steve?
Everything is evil. I don't know, like Will Ospreay or something like that.
No, that's a good choice.
Oh, I can never not watch a Will Ospreay match. There you go.
Ricochet. Foxy, the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. Given what happened after the Rumble in regards to four women in the ring at the end, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that Carmella will have a successful cash-in after WrestleMania 34? She's not really done anything of relevance since winning the briefcase, but I don't see WWE having two failed cash-ins this year. Also, one that also hurt the Women's Money in the Bank match. Thanks, guys. I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know what they have in the cards between now and next Money in the Bank in terms of the SmackDown Women's Division.
I kind of feel like if they're teasing these failed cash-ins, I mean, they did one last night. That means she's going to have a successful one.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting it up now. I think that was probably just to give her something to do last night.
Yeah. It's not the first time she's teased it.
They're making the titles out to be really important, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, because Charlotte comes out and says, you know, who am I going to fight?
Do you think that they're going to go with Ruby Riott versus Charlotte at Fastlane?
That seems might be the case.
Then have some kind of number one contender match, depending on what they end up having Asuka do, whether she chooses Alexa Bliss or Charlotte for the women's title.
I would doubt. I'll put it this way. I think that the value of the titles now that we're heading towards Mania seems to be a bit higher than it was before, but we're still 2 months out. It's entirely possible. I think that Carmella will probably cash in, get it, and then lose it fairly quickly because her stock has kind of dropped a bit.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have Ellsworth with her anymore.
Yeah.
I think her stock has dropped a little bit. So I think they might just to pop ratings for one night or to pop some buzz.
Maybe the SmackDown after Mania. I'm going to pick it up. I meant to put it on right there on top of the shirt and it fell behind it. Calm down.
I'm giving you crap, man. I like that you're just busting it out right now during the podcast. Through it. Oh, man. Let's see here. Three-time Iron Man heavy metalweight champion TGX. What is it about Shinsuke Nakamura that makes him more compelling in his promos than most of the roster, in spite of barely speaking any English? Does the fact that he doesn't speak English well benefit him? I think that some guys
he's just
pure charisma,
yeah,
man.
Just charismatic.
Some people just have like crazy charisma. Boy, the artwork in this is pretty cool. What the hell is that? Look at that freaking cheesy Photoshop. Is that SmackDown all of a sudden? Anyways, let's see here. Who else?
Let's do one more, then we can do trivia.
All right.
I was looking through here to see who was writing the songs these days in Pearl Jam. Look at this.
Hmm.
Rock Band.
We've already answered that, kind of. Tommy, the best value cat. Power rank who the roster voted SmackDown 10 will be. Thank you, friendos.
Well, I mean, AJ Styles will be number one, I imagine.
Who's top leader in the locker room? Doesn't Baron Corbin have to be up there?
No. He seems to be the opposite of a leader.
Okay, hold on a second.
How can you be a leader
though,
when you only care about yourself?
Not kayfabe, like for reals. Who else is standing up to the concussion guy but Baron Corbin?
Oh, I know, yeah.
He's like, hey, concussions are real.
Well, there's,
have studies.
There's two approaches. I don't remember exactly the particulars of that disagreement. But if he is speaking up and in the end is misinformed, that's counterproductive. But if he is like at the forefront, or reading about the forefront of
concussion
research.
I am giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, then absolutely I agree with you. Then yes, he is. If he's speaking up and saying, hey, no, what you're saying is not right.
Yeah.
Then kudos to Baron.
Yeah, I think wouldn't it be weird if like they did this for a shoot? Like they really had people rank and it was something bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Who's on this? Who's like...
Like Zack Ryder's number one.
Yeah, which I could totally see. Zack Ryder number one, Connor number two.
Yeah.
Like all these weird names start getting hella high up in opportunities and rankings, you know? Mojo's number three. He's like the nastiest heel on the roster, gets like number one.
But everybody loves him and he's like great
backstage.
Yeah,
like Jinder is backstage, like giving these people all this inspirational talk about how he did it and you could do it too.
Yeah. He's sharing workout tips, routines, all that stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but then like stuff. Bobby Roode's always grumpy, so he's always like really low. He's like, he's old and grumpy. He's just, man, he hates this glorious thing and he has to smile all the time. He's like number 11.
It's like, you know, he has to be a face. I'm in front of the camera. He's such a heel backstage.
Right, exactly. Anyways.
Anyways, I'm just making sure we're still
streaming.
Do trivia.
Okay. Oh, let's do trivia. Okay.
We'll start with classic. You should get all these right.
Well, I'm pretty sure we've gone through all the cards.
Yeah, it's pretty close, but these are all easy. Classic. who, in his first WrestleMania match in 5 years, pinned Hunter Hearst Helmsley in less than 2 minutes at WrestleMania 12?
Warrior. Ultimate Warrior. Classic. This isn't classic. This is Attitude Era. It says classic. Who's big events?
Yeah.
Who served as the special guest referee in the WWE Championship match between Bret the Hitman Hart and Undertaker at SummerSlam 1997?
Oh, Shawn Michaels.
HBK Shawn Michaels.
What former tag team partner Shawn Michaels beat him for the Intercontinental Championship on a May 93 episode of Raw?
Marty Jannetty.
I almost said Marty.
Monday Night Marty. Championships. What Puerto Rican superstar, by winning the WWE Intercontinental and World Tag Team Championships, was WWE's first Triple Crown winner? Puerto Rican superstar.
Wait, read that again?
Who's the first Triple Crown winner, won the WWE, the Intercontinental, and the World Tag Team Championships? Puerto Rican superstar.
Oh, Pedro Morales?
Very good.
What obnoxious manager would shout encouragement and instructions to his clients through his trademark bullhorn that he always brought ringside?
Jimmy Hart. Superstar bio. What was the name of the tag team formed by the Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine?
Rhythm and Blues.
I would not have gotten pretty much any of those, I don't think.
What former member of the Four Horsemen tried to assist Ric Flair in his match against Undertaker at WrestleMania 18?
Oh, man, I'd love to say RoboCop, but it was Arn Anderson.
Yeah. RoboCop was a member of the Four Horsemen.
I know.
He was brought in to take on the Four Horsemen.
Well, he was brought in specifically for what reason?
To counter the strength of Sid.
Big events. In the Attitude Era, what member of Team WWE turned on his teammates, allowing the Alliance to win the main event at the July 2001 Invasion pay-per-view?
Stone Cold.
What? You dumb... Championships.
No, I go.
You're next.
What former five-time WCW Cruiserweight champion secured his first WWE reign with a title by beating Matt Hardy in June of 2003?
Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Championships. What world's most dangerous man?
Oh, that's Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, okay.
What one-legged superstar competed in WWE in 2003 and 2004?
Zach Gowen.
Yeah.
Clean sweep. Let's see if you can go for the clean sweep. Right. This is a tough one.
All right.
I'll give you a hint with the accent
hint.
I read it in. Who honored The Rock with a special This Is Your Life tribute on September 27, 1999 episode of Raw, you dumb son of a bitch?
Mick Foley.
What? No, just listen to my voice.
It doesn't matter.
What?
What voice he uses? Mick Foley.
And the answer is that dumb son of a bitch, Mankind. It's actually Mankind.
It's Mick Foley.
The Moops. Anyways, well done. We all the cards we already know.
We need to find a new trivia game.
We need to find a new trivia game. Anyways, let's get some out music. Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for now. Growing in Raw. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.